Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm glad you're here. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. You're going to be glad you stayed with us because our good buddy Chuck Martin is back with us. Chuck is a researcher extraordinaire. He's a business strategist. He's an author. He's a syndicated columnist. He's a business owner, just like you and me, chairman and CEO of NFI Research, which is a management research firm. He's the author of a number of books. As I said, I think the new one is called Smarts, Are We Hardwired for Success? One of my favorites, though, is his book, Tough Management. He's our good friend. Chuck, welcome back to the show.
Hey, great to be here. How you doing?
Doing great. It's good to have you back, as always, Chuck. You've been working on performance of our humans and in the rank and file and also the leadership, haven't you?
Yes, that's right. I'm actually working on a new book dealing with high performers and what makes a high performer a high performer. And what a lot of people want to know is what makes a low performer a low performer.
Right.
We're finding. But one of the surveys we just conducted, and this is in 50 countries, we asked executives and managers, how likely is it that a successful salesperson can become a successful sales manager or sales executive? So we want to know, like, do people get promoted out of their competency, essentially?
Right. And that's an age-old question that many, many businesses have screwed up on over the years, isn't it?
Yeah, we actually think we're coming up with the answer to that based on our research. But we
historically, the answer what companies have done is they've taken their best salesperson and made them, and because they were the best salesperson, they thought they would make the best manager. And 99 times out of 100, that's a mistake.
Well, and not only that, not only do they lose a great salesperson, but they lose a sales manager as well. So it's a double hit.
But that's always been kind of a knee-jerk reaction, an anecdotal or kind of a logical conclusion that people have made erroneously. But you've got the research now, don't you?
Yes, we asked people, how likely do you think that person could be successful as a manager or executive? And you'll love this. 75% said that they think it's either extremely or somewhat likely. So 75% say it's likely that a successful salesperson becomes a successful sales manager.
The lie continues to live, doesn't it?
Well, you'll love this next one. We said, in your career, do you know where a sales employee was promoted into sales management and did not succeed? 86% said they know of someone like that.
What did you ask them if they were watching the same ball game?
if you talk to people in business, everybody knows of a case where somebody got promoted, and what they think is, boy, that person was really good before, and now they're not good. When the reality is, it's the same person. It's what happened was the business changed the situation for the person,
right?
And the person was no longer a fit.
Well, at least in the sales world, I don't know about other disciplines, but in sales, you know, the best salesperson is probably not a very good manager. And sales management, to do it right, you got to be a manager. You know, sort of like a sales manager is sort of like David Ledbetter, you know, the great golf coach.
Right.
You know, he can teach people how to play golf at the highest levels, but he can't play at that level.
Right.
And so, you know, you'd never take Tiger Woods and turn him into a coach. That'd be a dumb career move, wouldn't it?
Right.
And it's a similar thing with salespeople.
Yeah, we actually are finding, we're measuring in the study, we're doing this, we've been doing this study for a year now, we're measuring the cognitive characteristics, basically parts of the brain that we talked about in my last book, Smart, the frontal lobes right behind your forehead.
Mm-hmm.
There are functions in there that do not change from really, they're developed starting at birth, and they're essentially hardwired into every people, just like people's height or being left-handed or right-handed. And we're finding that sales employees have different specific cognitive functions that are different from sales managers and sales executives. It's fascinating stuff, and it's a huge number. And the higher someone goes in sales, the more they need of one particular cognitive function. And employees typically are actually low. More of them are low in that function than are in high, so they're not going to change.
Right.
But there are some sales employees who have it, that specific function, and if you can measure it in advance, you can determine that will be successful.
And put them in the right position. I like that. All right, we're going to learn more about this, folks. And listen, we've been talking about this over the years. We've had a lot of these kinds of this kind of research, folks. It's there. People know who can be the best for certain assignments. If you don't find out what that is, you're going to make a lot of mistakes and cost you a lot of money and maybe even success. Twin Tails, stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to check it out. Use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can also see a sample while you're there. You can check out my blog, which we update on a regular basis, my thoughts, my words that we post there. And you can comment. You can put your words there along with mine. And, of course, my knowledge base is there, askjim.biz. And regardless of how much time you got, 15 seconds, 1 minute, 30 seconds, 5 seconds, we've got something you can read or listen to there and that'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Chuck Martin has deposited many words of wisdom with us over the number of years that he's been a member of our Brain Trust. He's been a valuable, very important member of our Brain Trust. He also always brings us some great ideas, including some research. And Chuck, you were talking about this research that, and I was, as we went to the break, I was reminding the audience, folks, when you're hiring people to be an accountant or a receptionist or a salesperson or the president of your company, there are ways to find out if this person has a reasonable shot at being successful in that job, isn't there, Chuck?
Yeah, there really is. This is based on neuroscience brain research, so it's not really a theory of mine. What we did, and we did this in my last book, Smarts, is we took all this knowledge from clinical psychology and we translated it basically into the business world. And psychologists haven't done this because that's not what they do. They deal with patients, which is practical and logical. But you can actually map these fixed functions in a person's brain to tasks and jobs that they have. I mean, and these are things like these cognitive functions are things that are very practical, like time management, mm-hmm. working memory, flexibility, stress tolerance, and so forth. And what we're finding in our high-performing study that we've been doing again for a year now, we've had thousands of people in hundreds of companies in all kinds of organizations do this survey where it really determines what what essentially measures their brain. It takes about 5 minutes. And if any of your listeners want to do this, by the way, they're more than welcome to participate. It's free. And we're sharing all of the aggregate information with all of the participants in the study.
Great. And how do they do that?
112 researchers working on this now over the course of last year. Yeah.
Wow.
It's the Whittemore School of Business and Economics.
That's a big project. So how do we connect with this?
You just go to our website, and there's an invitation right there.
Go ahead. Give it to us.
It's www.nfi, like Net Future Institute, nfiresearch.com.
nfiresearch.com. Check it out, folks. Take that sample.
nfiresearch.com. And we have some preliminary results of our study that are up there that anybody can go read if they want to.
Great. Folks, this could be, look, you know, the thing about this, Chuck, the reason why I'm I've talked about this so much over the years with you and with other people who do work similar to yours, Chuck, is that small business owners don't make that many hires in the life of their business typically, especially not critical hires. And we just got to be a little more deliberate, a little more scientific about these things. And, you know, Chuck, 20 years ago, this is a realm that was really only available to big companies primarily. But now it's democratized, it's incrementalized. I mean, the types of information that's available and the cost of it, some of it is almost free. There's no reason for a small business not to be a little more sophisticated in their hires.
Yeah, we're actually in our study. We're looking at. We have a lot of. I mean, we have thousands of responses from small business people in this, as well as large companies. We're actually looking to see if there's a difference between small and large companies, and we also are looking at profits versus nonprofits because we're thinking there may be a difference there as well.
Really?
Yes.
You know, somebody asked me once if I was a nonprofit, and I said, "Well, I don't mean to be. I don't. that wasn't my intention."
Right.
So, but you're not talking about that kind of nonprofit, are you?
No, we're talking about people who are intentionally nonprofit.
We're talking about the .orgs, right? Yeah.
we also did a study recently on if people thought an average individual could develop into a high performer. And then we want to know if someone who was a high performer, do they become a low performer later? And the majority, a slight majority, 55%, say that it's likely that an average person can develop into a high performer.
Hmm.
But then we said, do you know of a high performer in one position who became a low performer in another? 82% know of somebody who became a low performer.
Right.
And that's that whole idea of getting promoted into something that doesn't fit you.
Mm-hmm.
It's
completely illogical. Their responses, aren't they? They believe that certain things are possible, and yet they all have evidence, or most of them have evidence where what they believe is possible actually doesn't work.
Yeah, well, it's close though, because 45% of the people, almost half, said that it's unlikely that someone average can develop into a high performer.
What do you think about that?
If you look at small businesses versus large businesses, it's really interesting. In large companies, those with 10,000 or more employees, 34% say it's unlikely that someone can develop into a high performer. At small business, 48% say it's unlikely.
Wow.
So they are small businesses.
The Peter principle is not as alive and not as well in small businesses as it is in big businesses.
Well, it indicates that small businesses have a better understanding of the people who are working there because it's smaller and you get to see everything.
Well, here's the other thing: an employment decision, a promotion decision in a big company, isn't as dangerous as it is in a little company.
But that's right.
It isn't. It's fraught with danger. I mean, you can hide in a big company, and if you're completely messed up. You won't do as much damage. You go into a small company, the wrong hire can take you down. I've seen that happen before, and I'm sure you have too, Chuck.
Oh, absolutely.
Quick break. Chuck's going to have some more important things to tell us. This is fascinating stuff. Right after these messages, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate, Chuck Martin, is our guest. Our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Smarts, Are We Hardwired for Success? And he's got a couple of co-authors, Peg Dawson and Richard Guerra. Chuck, let's give us some more. Oh, by the way, before we go any further, I want you to give us the website one more time.
Okay, it's nfiresearch.com. Like,
can they find your books there?
NFI, like Nancy Frank, Indian,
right.
NFIresearch.com.
Can they find your books there?
Yes, although you can't really buy them there because you have to buy them through the publishers or through Amazon or
right.
Anywhere. Other than Coffee at Luna's, you can buy there.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Coffee at Luna's. I forgot about that one. It's a business fable, ladies and gentlemen.
You know that sold 65,000 copies in Korea?
Congratulations.
Isn't that amazing?
I love that story. That's a great story. I got to sit at your knee, and you got to tell me how to do that sometime. All right, what are some of the other performance research that you've conducted?
We did one over looking at strengths and weaknesses, and we said during a performance review, how much time do you spend on focusing on strengths over weaknesses? And a slight majority, 54%, said they spend more time focusing on strengths than weaknesses. But when you look at small businesses, it's 60%. So small businesses are spending more time focusing on someone's strengths versus their weaknesses.
What do you think about that?
I think that makes sense because it follows the other research we found in terms of small businesses being closer to their employees.
Hmm.
You know, closer to understanding what's going on with them. So they also it's more small businesses are more personal.
But I guess my question is that the better bargain is to help people maximize their strengths and than it is to help them minimize their weaknesses.
Well, our last book shows that you cannot fix a weakness. They're basically hardwired. So if your weakness, for example, and again, this is how neurons fire in the frontal lobes of your brain.
Right.
If one of your weaknesses is, say, time management, mm-hmm. it means that your brain does not process time accurately. So you tend to be late for things. You mean to be on time, but something always gets in the way. There's traffic or whatever. And if you're high in time management, you're always on time because your brain processes within a 90-plus accuracy rate how long it takes to do something.
And a lot of this is personality-based, too, isn't it? I mean, it's because our personality experts say basically you don't change your personality.
Well, this is hardwired. This is the personality is a little softer part of the brain.
Yeah.
This is actually how neurons fire in the frontal lobe. So it's a fixed thing. Again, this is proven by neuroscience.
So we can't really minimize our weaknesses, you think, but we can maximize our strengths.
That's right.
And get better. We can't stop the weaknesses, but we can seek excellence with our strengths.
Yeah, and what we recommend is get people into positions that play to their strengths. Because if you think of someone who you've been doing reviews with for, say, 4 or 5 years,
right?
The typical review is, you're doing really well at these things, so we're not going to talk about that. So let's
right.
talk about the things you're not good at, how you can improve.
And basically, as my dad used to say, you're beating your head against a brick wall.
That's right. And anyone who's done a review knows that it's the same review every year. So
right.
that being said, if there is a weakness, a weak executive skill that's required for one of these cognitive functions, then what you do is you look at the biggest problem that it causes, and you address the problem, not the cognitive function. So, if, for example, someone is low in time management, you can't say, look, you need to be on time for things, because it's just not going to happen. It's not practical.
Right.
But you
right.
can say, look, this staff meeting we have every Wednesday is critical. I realize you're not good at time, and we understand that, but you're great at this other stuff, so that's okay. But for this Wednesday meeting, you really have to be on time, because it's disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, in fact, pull out all the stops and have the person be on time for that one thing, even though they're not good at managing time.
But one of the ways you do that is by not beating them up, but by amplifying the things that they're really good at and just getting them to put a little extra effort into it.
Right, and maybe you pair them with someone who's really good at
yeah.
managing time. And you say, hey, every time we could come to this meeting, go tell Fred that we're going to the meeting.
And see, this is why back to sales. You know, if you got a great closer, but they're not good at details, you don't beat them up because they don't do their reports. You hire somebody to do their reports so that they can stay out there closing sales.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's not what we do. We tend to beat on them, saying, like,
exactly.
they're a great salesperson, and they're doing fabulously for the bottom line,
right.
and we're beating them up because they didn't do some
right.
piece of paper.
Well said, and well done on this research, Chuck. Fascinating stuff. Folks, we always get smarter when Chuck joins us, don't we? Hey, Chuck, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Chuck Martin, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget the book is called Smarts. That's a new one. And NFIresearch.com is the website. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.